At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right. Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the plot of thunder and rock and roll. And guess what? It's Friday. And you asked for her. Now you got her. Bayley is here. NXT superstar Bayley finally on Talk is Jericho. She was not drafted to the main roster this week, but this is almost as good, wouldn't you say, being drafted to Talk is Jericho's main roster. You guys want her. You guys got her. Super requested, and she's super cool. You're going to love her after this podcast. She's funny, positive, and a hell of a worker, kid. She's a diehard wrestling fan. We're going to talk about some of her heroes in the biz, her journey to NXT, some of those amazing matches she had with Sasha Banks, including the takedown match in Brooklyn that won the match of the year at the NXT Awards. And in true Talk is Jericho tradition, we're going to get Bayley to do her best Dusty Rhodes impression. Yeah. Come over here, baby. What you got to say about this? Almost sounds like Hooven Tugaro when I do it. Hey, baby, it's sweet. It's so sweet, baby. I can't believe it. The juice is here. The juice is here. The juice is on keeping it 100 every week with Conan. But Bayley is here tonight. And like I said, she did not get drafted in the main roster, which kind of made me mad. But she's going to get a chance very, very soon. It was a cool show. Got some real interesting ways to go now that the draft is done. Thankfully, Finn Balor drafted to Raw. I've been waiting for him to come up for a long time. Yours truly drafted number 9 overall on Raw, which apparently is better than I was drafted like 12 years ago when I was drafted number 12 to Raw. Someone pointed that out. So here I am, 15 years later, 45 years old, drafted number 9 on Raw overall, number 15 out of everybody overall, and doing Frankensteiners from the top rope, daddy-o. That's how I roll. Yeah, exactly. So it was a good draft. We're going to see what's going to happen. John Cena, AJ Styles over on SmackDown. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins over on Raw. I think the games probably begin on Monday, although we do have this Sunday Battleground Jericho highlight reel with the returning Randy Orton. What's going to happen? Like I said, if you watch the draft special that was on the network, I said to Randy Orton, I got a message or two from Brock Lesnar. Get to check out and see what happens. You think it's going to be an RKO to nowhere? Not on my watch, daddy-o. Ain't going to happen. It's going to be a good, good weekend here. And like I said, I was a little bit surprised Bayley wasn't drafted, but she's going to get her shot. She's a really, really, like I said, very dedicated, very impressive, got a lot of respect for her. And she is here tonight on Talk is Jericho. I tell you what, I keep an eye on the Twitter, at Talk is Jericho and at I am Jericho. People ask a lot of different times, will you have so-and-so on the show? Will you have this guy on the show? Will you have that guy on the show? Will you have this lady on the show? And Bayley is definitely one of my most number one requested guests, and you got her. So much so that I even know what her Twitter is. It's at It's Bayley. Why do I know that? Because I see it probably 10 times a day with people going, when are you going to have It's Bayley on Talk is Jericho? Well, no, I should do that better. When are you going to have It's Bayley on Talk is Jericho? We've been waiting for her for many, many months to be on the show. And we really think she'd be a fine addition to the show. So here you go. She's on the show. So thank you so much for checking it out. You are going to love it. And you're going to love hitting the subscribe button. on iTunes, for, like I said, for the brand new Keeping It 100 with Conan podcast, flagship podcast on the new Jericho Network. I promise you're going to love it. If you listen, Conan and his cast of characters are going to keep you entertained and laughing. The third episode is out now, and it's the funniest of the three. Check it out now. If you haven't listened yet, check it out, starting with episode three. It's a great little mix. It's a whack pack morning show. Conan, Disco Inferno, Kevin Gill, Juventud Guerrera, Teddy Hart, a lot of guys appearing on the show. Lots of funny stories and funny anecdotes. Conan, he don't care, man. He's going to say what he wants to say, and he's going to do what he wants to do, and that's just how it is. And I'm actually really, really digging it. It's come together. The first show was good, but the third one is light years even better. They are locking it in. It's a great podcast and a huge hit as well, almost hitting six figures already in just 2 weeks after its release. So there you go. Conan is a hit. Keeping It 100. He's going to keep you rocking. Check it out now on the Jericho Network via Podcast One. Subscribe and leave a rating and a comment, all right? And leave a rating and a comment after you hear Bailey. She's standing by right now. We're going to jump in with her right after I share a great option for your next Netflix and chill night, especially if you're by yourself. It's called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, the documentary that Diamond Dallas Page wrote and directed and created. He didn't direct it, but he was behind it, of the literally, like you said, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, how Jake the Snake was able to change his life, save his life. I know I keep talking about this documentary, but it's only because it's that damn good. And you don't have to be a wrestling fan to get into this documentary. It's Jake's story about how Dallas literally saved his life. And it's not it, whatever side of the coin you're on, wrestling, music, paranormal, movies, have no interest in any of the above. You will have interest in this documentary. And hey, the numbers don't lie. Because The Resurrection of Jake the Snake is currently number 6 on the highest rated documentary list of all time on Netflix. What is that? The 6th highest rated documentary of all time on Netflix. Think about that. There's 10,000 documentaries on Netflix. Jake the Snake is in at number 6. So after you check it out, give it a rating yourself and comment yourself. I'm telling you, this documentary is going to take you on a roller coaster ride of emotion. It's going to leave you feeling inspired and ready to take on the world at the end. You are going to walk away with your head held up high, wanting to do DDP yoga. And once you're fired up and you want to do it, take advantage of this amazing offer that Dallas is offering to you, Talk is Jericho, Sexy Beast listeners. Here it is. 20% off anything you battle choose at ddpyoga.com/Jericho for a limited time. It's never going to get any better than this. 20% off DDP Yoga. That means 20% off the collector's edition DVD or Blu-ray of The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, okay? 20% off the DDP Yoga program. 20% off anything at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Go take advantage of it, okay, please? I can't harp this enough. Are you having problems? Is your neck bugging you? Is your shoulder bugging you? Are you having some mental issues because your physical pain is starting to take over? Do everything you can to go check out Diamond Dallas Page, DDP Yoga. It's going to change your life for the better. Please, if you're feeling pain, go check it out. Start today. DDPYoga.com/Jericho. Change your life for the better and go do it now. Okay, super requested guest here. Bailey is with me. Everybody wants to know your story. Like, everyone loves you.
I don't know. I don't know why. It's not that, like I told you before, I'm like, I'm not that interesting, but... But yet, I'll try. Maybe I'll make some stuff up.
But yet, but that's always good.
Yeah.
But yet, whenever I always ask or watch NXT and you're talking about who like the top stars are, I mean, you are right up there and people are always talking about this amazing connection that you have with the crowd.
It seems like... I think it just came naturally as I started wrestling, and as soon as I started this Bailey character, people kind of just latched onto it right away and just got me, and it was so cool. As soon as I heard a reaction from my first match, it was against Alicia Fox, I was like, oh man, they know exactly, like, they could feel me, and it was so cool. It was such a cool feeling because even though I've wrestled before on the independents and stuff, I never really had that connection. I just felt like a wrestler, just having fun with myself. Like, that sounded weird, but like having fun because I loved wrestling, but now I was here involving everybody, and it's a really cool connection with like all age groups.
Well, and what is the crux of the Bailey character? Since I came up with this character.
So when I got to NXT, I was just this female wrestler. And
what was your name? to NXT when you got signed?
Right, I was Pamela Martinez. That was just my real name. But on the independents, I wrestled as Davina Rose. Mm. So
Rose is like the female equivalent of star as a guy. There's like a million stars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A million storms.
Yeah, and but mine's my middle name. So
So you actually have a... I think it's actually Mandy Rose's. I think her real name is Rose, too. So keeping on the Rose tradition.
Yeah. And I thought Davina was so cool. It sounded all pretty, and I thought it flowed well, and I practiced doing a fake signature. So I'm like, yeah, I can write this pretty easy. I'm just going to go with this. And my trainers approved of it.
What was the signature? Was there like a little loop on it or something?
No. All I remember is like it just was easy for me to write in cursive because I was like, I got to write cursive. It's got to look cool. And I was able to write like an exclamation mark at the end, which I do with my Bailey name now, so I don't know.
So you're smart now. You just got rid of the last name completely.
Yes, I guess.
Just Bailey.
Yeah.
I used to put Chris Jericho in the O. I put a star at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what Paul Stanley, we talked about him earlier.
Yeah.
Paul Stanley with the Y was a star. And I was like, that's so cool. Chris Jericho, star. And then after a while, it just, you have to sign 100 autograph matches, don't bother. But I signed that autograph once in 1999 when I first got here. And sometimes if you see like a Slurpee cup or something where Jericho's on it with
the
autograph.
I've seen them, yeah.
It still has that star autograph from like, you know, 16 years ago.
Because it was the cool one.
I guess so. I guess so. So you could write the cursive name with Davina Rose. Yeah,
so yeah. My trainer, Jason Styles, was... he was very hard on me. So he was like, you have to run your names through me before you can use it on the show. And I came up with that one. And he was all, I like it. And I guess he used to date this girl named Davina back in the day.
Really?
So he was like, yeah, I love that name. Go with it. So that's how I chose that one. And so when I came to NXT, I was just a wrestler, no personality, nothing. Like, and I'm not like a girly girl, so I wasn't a model or anything like that. And it just came through promo class, just doing typical promos. I remember Corey Graves used to be so hard on me because he was just brutally honest. Like, I didn't believe that. Who are you? And blah, 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 because Dream would always ask for his opinion because he was honest. And I felt so terrible about myself all the time, but like in a good way, like I need to come up with something. And then one of the days Dream called me up and he said, cut a promo on Summer Rae. And I was like, okay. So she's just sitting right there. And I started talking about her and her blonde hair and how tall she is. And it became kind of like an obsessive where I sounded like a huge fan, kind of like the Mickie James and Trish Stratus thing.
Like a stalker almost.
Yeah. And I didn't mean for it to come off that way, but it did. And him and one of the writers was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Come back next week and do like a super fan type thing. And I was like, oh, that's easy. So I just kept targeting Summer and it became like an obsessive thing. And then I got really into it and I made yearbooks and I printed out pictures of everybody, like all the girls on the roster. And
what do you mean you made yearbooks?
Like I just started printing out pictures and put them all together so it looked like I had this huge yearbook of my favorite wrestlers. And I would just I would ask the girls if they can be in my promo with me so I can just, oh my God, could you sign this for me? Like, so I was basically just being myself that I was 10 when I was 10 years old, and they just really liked it. And within a month or so I was, they wanted to debut it on TV and I was like, man, this is so cool. So I really am just myself as a kid. I just had to bring back all those memories.
Was this meant to be a babyface gimmick, or is this almost has a little bit of a heelish like psycho type thing?
I don't
to it,
know.
If you wanted it to be.
I think when I was doing it, I didn't really care which way it went because they would ask me that too. Can you be a heel doing this? Can you be a babyface doing this? They wanted to make sure I knew what I was doing and it wasn't just one dimensional. So I kind of felt creepy doing it at the same time. So I knew it could come off as Mickie James if I needed to, where I was just like this psycho hiding behind walls and like creeping on all my favorite wrestlers. But I think, you know, some people may have taken it that way. The first time I came out, I was like hugging Alicia Fox and like running into her corner. So people were probably like, oh, that's
strange,
weird. Yeah, but some people took to it and now more people are taken to it. So.
But you said that this was you when you were 10?
Yeah. I guess I wasn't as creepy.
But a huge wrestling fan?
Yes, I was a huge fan. I've been to like a million shows, like live events, and I went to all the autograph signings that I could. I stood in line forever. I stood in line for one time I went to a signing with Rey Mysterio in Oakland at a Popeye's Chicken. I met him, and then I made my dad drive me to San Francisco where John Cena was doing a signing in like an eyeglass place or something.
Random.
But I waited in line for a total of 5 hours that day just to meet Rey Mysterio and John Cena.
And John Cena.
Yeah, so all kinds of signings. I would go to signings with I went to one with like Edge and Victoria at they did these like bail bonds places. Back then there was random places that
is weird.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got here, they used to have a third party liaison. And so they say, okay, you got a show in New York, you got a third party. But like you said, it'd be like at a used car lot, or it'd be like a Dave and Buster's type game place, or an ice cream shop. Like, who's doing this?
Right. It was so random. That's,
yeah, very random places.
Yeah. But I did it all and went to all the shows, would hang out afterwards backstage,
the
parking lot. I remember seeing Matt Hardy like put his hand out the window. I didn't get to meet him, but I felt like that was so worth it. Like, yeah, he did the peace sign to me. Doing it to everyone.
to me and hundreds of others, right? Yeah. But it was for me. Yeah. Was there anybody that wasn't nice to you?
No, I remember meeting Greg Valentine once at these indie shows, actually, where I trained with Big Time Wrestling. So when I was a kid, I would go to these indie shows, and he would just get, you could go in the ring and take pictures at intermission with they had Polaroids. So it was him and Ivory, and I walked in and like he's like, "Did you pay?" And like I went to like shake his hand. He's, "Did you pay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I gave her my money." It was like $10 or something. And then he goes to her and he's like, "Did she pay?" Like, she's like, "Yeah, she paid for it." Emma, is he asking everybody or just me? Do right, I look right, like right. I'm a kid who wants to like?
Yeah, exactly.
Sneak
I'm not gonna lie twice about paying to shake your hand.
Yeah, so I guess that's the meanest like anybody's ever been to me. It's pretty funny though.
Did you say Big Time Wrestling? Now is this based out of Hayward, California?
Yeah. Do you know of them?
Did you know that I wrestled?
No way.
In Big Time Wrestling?
Was it in Hayward or was... Because there's another Big Time Wrestling.
This was in Hayward with the Woody Farmer was the promoter.
Yes.
Do you know about this?
I know. Yeah. I think I've tweeted you this before. This is weird. Okay. One time... So Shane Cody is his son.
Yes.
Yeah. Shane Cody... help train me.
You're kidding me.
No.
Now, there's something funny. Okay, just as a quick story. So in about the summer of 92, I was only in the business for a couple of years. I didn't really have much going. It's before I got to go to Mexico. I'd been to Japan once.
Yeah.
Just local Canadian places. And my dad's girlfriend at the time lived in, I can't remember, it was one of those areas up there. Where's the place where the amphitheater is? Like the Shoreline Amphitheater or something?
No, Mountain View.
In Mountain View, California.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, maybe I'll go down to Bonnie's place and just see if I can find some wrestling. And somehow I found Woody, Woody Harrelson, Woody Farmer, Big Time Wrestling.
Yeah.
So I went down there and I just showed up and basically ended up doing a TV taping. And I had 3 matches in one night, with the third match being against Shane Cody.
Yeah. Okay. I remember this now. So he would always talk about that.
Really?
And just as a like joke, like, yeah, you know, I put Chris Jericho on the map. And just like as a joke.
Like as indie guys do. Right?
Yeah. So I found that match one time on YouTube or maybe Big Time Wrestling put it up. And this
it's
was
on
before
YouTube.
I was here. And I tweeted it and you like quoted the tweet, or maybe you retweeted it or something, and I felt so cool. Like, Chris Jericho tweeted at me, but you were just commenting on the match.
Were you Bailey at the time?
No, I was. This was on the Independence.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I forgot about
that's
that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I found that match. As a matter of fact, I just watched it. For some reason, a couple days ago, someone else tweeted it again, and you see, like, oh, it's the horrible hair. It's like, don't have any idea. And the place was so small that I remember standing on the top rope, and you could, like, touch the ceiling, and, like, you can't jump too high or you'll go right through it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Shane Cody was the big star.
Yeah, so he still is. He's
wow.
the man.
They still have Big Time Wrestling there.
Yeah, so now it's run by a guy named Kirk White. But Cody, I don't know if he's – I think he might be, like, the heavyweight champion right
of
now.
Course. Yeah. Of course. It's the way it always is.
He always would show up to training. Like, he wouldn't train anymore, but he would just show up halfway with his pork rinds and Miller Lights and just be like, all right, bozos, what are you guys doing?
So that's where you trained. I had no idea.
Yeah. All first 4 years.
So you just, like, show up at the building one day, or did they still have TV, or how did you know?
No, I think they do now, but I started going to those shows when I was 13. I just was the first wrestling show that I saw. They were at the San Jose Boys and Girls Club, and Buff Bagwell was there.
Okay.
And so I was like, man, this is cool. My first wrestling show, I got to meet Buff Bagwell. And since then, I just went every single time. They ran about like once every 2 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they had a wrestler there, like I said, they had Ivory, they had Billy Gunn, they had Matt Hardy when he first left WWE. They've had everybody, so it was like my chance to meet all these guys. And when I turned 18, I started training with them because I knew they had a school and it was the easiest thing to do. So I was like, I want to start training with you guys. And they knew me from like growing up, and they're like, are you sure? And the promoter called my mom the first day and was like, do you know who I have in front of me right now? And she's like, yes, she wants to do it. And I guess I'll stand by her now from now on or whatever. So they had to get my mom's permission.
Sure.
And yeah.
Was your mom like behind you going for it?
Yeah, she... When I was like going to community college, I played basketball through high school, so the community college wanted me to play basketball there. But I knew if I were to do that, I would have no time to myself or whatever. I would have to focus on that in school, and all I wanted to do was wrestle. Like, as terrible, that's all I wanted to do. So I was like, Mom, I'm not gonna play. Like, I need to go wrestle now. And she was kind of like, ugh, I'd rather you focus on school and get your degree. And then once I started wrestling, she went to every single show. She watches everything. She's been to all the takeovers that I've been on, and yeah, she loves it now.
Did you start like doing shows locally in that area?
Yeah, I first did big time wrestling that was all I could really do. Then there was this promotion in Reno called PWD, which did like a few shows, and I was like their first women's champion. Which
nice.
Yeah, I don't think they run anymore, but they were cool. What else? I did NWA Hollywood. Started
so you're
doing
working that. All up and down California, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, trying to like get out there. It wasn't really until I did Shimmer in Chicago that I really started, like, people started noticing and would book you more, because that was more the, like,
because that's a bigger name, please. What?
Yeah.
Who were some of your favorites, like female divas, women, when you were growing up?
Lita, Ivory, Victoria. Lita, I think, because she was just so different than everybody else, and I thought she was the coolest. I would wear those baggy red pants or baggy orange pants and chokers.
Did you have the G-string pulled up?
No. My friends would make fun of me, like, because I had the Hardy Boys necklace, and I would wear it in PE, and it was just, I was a total dork. And Ivory and Victoria, I just loved how they wrestled. I knew that they were amazing, and I knew Lita was who I wanted to be like, because I felt I was different than any other girls too. So that was kind of how I like picked my faves.
Because like you said, that's the thing. Like, you are different just because you look like the literal girl next door.
Yeah.
Whereas especially if we went through a huge phase 5 years ago, all the girls were like bikini models and that sort of thing.
Right.
And you've become like your own. That's, I think, one of the reasons why you've gotten so popular, is because you really are like the girl next door.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's kind of what I don't know. I remember when I first started here, I was like, man, I'm going to have a really tough time trying to be this, you know, be the diva. And like
the glamour queen.
Yeah. Hi, Norman. And like, I remember talking to AJ one of my first times. Her and Dolph were guests at one of the first NXT shows, and she had a really long talk with me because she can tell I was just uncomfortable, like walking around in heels and a dress. It just wasn't me. And she just made me feel better. Like, it's okay to be yourself, and you know, obviously still do what they want, and you kind of have to find the happy medium, you know. So that always stuck with me. And eventually I got more comfortable wearing dresses, and I still can't curl my hair, but if I need to, someone could do it for me. But I think if I were trying to be someone I'm not, I just wouldn't have as much fun. So doing this is like, it's literally like the best thing
that comes across too. You have to, like, the best characters, they always say, is your own personal self turned up to, like, you know, 11.
Yeah.
And if you're not comfortable, I was talking actually in this very room to Kevin Owens last year, and he was talking about when he first came up here, he tried to wear a singlet and tried to, you know, do all these things, and then he's just like, I just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
And he wears the shorts and the cutoff shirt, and that's how he is Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Right? And it really shows. Like, yeah. They always say, if you don't believe in yourself, they're not going to believe in you, mm-hmm. which is true. And I don't know. I guess it's working for me.
Then today when I saw you in the park, and I was, it looks like Bailey, but her hair is down. I just assume that you walk around all the time with the side ponytail. How'd you come up with that?
First, I guess it was the Napoleon Dynamite, the chick in Napoleon Dynamite who had the side pony. And I thought, like, man, she looks real dorky. But I thought it was so cool. And that's how they used to wear it, like, in the 80s and stuff, mm-hmm. which I always thought was, like, a cool look with bright colors and everything. So, and also to set myself apart from everyone. Everyone just had their hair down or curls, whatever. So I first started in a normal ponytail. And then as the promo classes went on, I put it to the side more and more, and then started, like, standing differently, like, with my feet together, and, like, started, like, rubbing my hands on my legs, like, I was sweaty and nervous. And, like, this is funny, because my first match with Alicia Fox, I came out in the ponytail, and then as she's coming down, I get in the corner, and I take my hair out, because I just thought it was, like, a look, but I knew it was going to get messy in the match, so I just took it out and stand there. And after the match, I come back, and Dream is standing there right at the stairs, and he goes, why did you take your hair down?
First of all, we have a tradition. You have to do it in Dusty's voice.
Okay, I'll try my best. Why did you take your hair down, baby? And I was like, because it's going to get messed up. And he's like, don't you ever take your hair down. As long as you're doing this character, you keep it in the ponytail. You hear me? And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And I thought he was crazy because I was like, I'm going to look terrible. Mm-hmm. But that now it's like it's a thing.
It's become your trademark.
Yeah.
You know, when people draw pictures of you, that's the first thing they probably get right.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's definitely what sets me apart. If I were to just have my hair down, I don't know, wouldn't it be the same?
You've mentioned Dream quite a few times in the times we've been talking. Yeah. I mean, obviously hugely influential on you.
Yeah, he was the best. Like, and as for everybody in the PC, it's just he believed in everybody, no matter what. And if he always found the good in everybody, or he always knew what would work with you. So I feel like the first time he saw me, he knew what I needed to work on, and which was just presentation and promo skills in general. So he would set aside, like, classes for a certain group of people and would focus on exactly what he knew we needed. And then he just always told us, like, to believe in our words. So he would just have us tell stories, because if you tell a real story, it's obviously, like, genuine. And I don't know, he would push everybody. And I remember just Paige sitting up there in promo class, and she would say something and he'd make her do it over. Like, I thought it was good, but he always had an eye and was like, no, do it again, do it like this, do it slower, speak softly in these words, then scream on these words, and just was made it like a million times better. Mm-hmm. And he was just always the best. And it sucks, like, it sucks not having him around, but I'm so happy that he was there in the beginning of my career, because he's always with me, so always makes me believe in myself.
It's almost like he knew what your character was before you did.
Yes, that's right? Exactly it. And same with Sasha when she started her boss thing. Like, he doesn't know how to act like a boss, or, like, he's not Snoop Dogg. He can't tell her to, like, act a certain way, but he knows what she's capable of, so he would push it, and he did that with everybody.
And so I was just talking to some of the guys earlier, and we were just going through some of the ideas they had as characters, and instantly each guy had a pretty rough idea, but you hear one thing that's like, that's it right there, this is it right there. Yeah. That's it right there. But the secret is committing to it, believing in it, you know. And once you figure it out that this is just me at 11, the rest is probably pretty easy afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, and you always, if there's, you can do a whole promo and you think, like, it means this thing, but he would bring it back to this and be like, that's what you focus on. Like, this is the main point of your promo. And you're like, no, I meant to talk about, like, this was the main point. He's like, no, that's what you dive into. And you come back next week, talk about that. And it would just take it to a whole nother level.
We were kind of laughing earlier. You said today that you had acting class.
Yeah.
Which is also figuring out character and delivery. And what are you doing? And this is a performance center the mandatory acting class.
Yes. So I was saying, we were telling you it's kind of like therapy, and I've done these before with Howard Fine. We had these weekends where we'd had to come here like 3 days in a row, and I did it about 4 times with him, and each time it was just like so emotional, and then we had to go to shows, and I just felt so tired. I'm like, I just want to go home and curl up and like, what's wrong with me?
Emotionally drained.
Yeah. So now we have weekly classes with the acting coach named Ryan, and it's kind of going through the same thing that we did with Howard, but I thought I was smart this time. This exercise is called emotional recall, and I was like, I'm going to bring my dog's toy so I can keep it happy. I'll make sure I won't cry. And so he's like, all right, tell me about your dog. So I started talking about him. I'm like, man, I just love my dog so much. And then he asked me about my family, and next thing you know, I'm crying. I'm like, what? He's like, tell me about your parents. I'm like, oh, they're divorced.
But I have a dog toy.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? But I know like it's going to come back to her. Okay, think about that. And there you go.
How do you... Let me ask this question properly. How are you going to be able to use that skill in the ring or in a promo class?
Yeah, I guess in promos. So he was saying, you know, if you, for example, maybe if it's like I start dating someone on TV or something, and there's a breakup or something tragic happens to me or whatever it is, you have to be able to channel that in your promos and be able to think back to that time. So if I were to use today as an example, think about like going through my parents' divorce would make me feel, and then go read your lines, portray that, and
utilize
keep
that feeling, right? That vibe.
Yeah. It's real weird, but it's kind of cool how it works out.
We've got everything covered here.
Yeah.
At the center. It's amazing,
dude,
isn't it?
Look at this room.
We're in the voiceover room right now. I just watched you guys work out with the coach.
Yeah.
You know, how long have you been at the center for? Or how long have you been signed with WWE?
January of 2013.
13, okay, so
yeah,
just over 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, and in that time, you've had like just some incredible matches. Even the one that I'm talking about with Sasha. My Canadian accent wants to say Sasha, but she told me it's Sasha at TakeOver in Brooklyn last summer, which was, now you have to help me with this, voted match of the year by
the NXT Universe.
NXT Universe.
Yes.
And rightfully so. It was the first match I ever watched of yours.
Oh, really?
And it was, you know, I'm going to say this word and Stacey, get ready to believe it. It was f-ing awesome.
Oh,
so talk about that. I mean, because you're in front of the biggest crowd, I would assume probably ever for you.
Yep.
15,000 people sold out, and this is not wrestling talk,
right?
And you guys were semi-main event or one of the top matches on the show.
Yeah. So cool. Sasha and I started around the same time. She was here a little bit before me, but since I came in, I remember we had to have like a practice match. They used to do something where people who would come in from wrestling, they would put them in a match on the fly and just go. And only the coaches were watching, so they just wanted to see what you were capable of. And they put Sasha in the ring with me. So they're like, all right, you guys have a 5-minute match, go. And I was like, oh, no. And so we just have a match, but it just clicked. Like, we just felt so comfortable with each other. And since then, we were kind of like paired off, and we always joke how at NXT TVs they would kind of just like throw us out there like, all right, Sasha versus Bayley, and we did it literally every single taping. And we're like, we just go, okay, who do we have tonight, and let me guess, Sasha. And then yeah, you do. So
you got that best of 237
exactly
going.
And then it just finally built up, and when we met at Brooklyn, it was there's so many people, but and so much pressure, and I knew what the match meant, but I felt comfortable because I was with her and knew that we both wanted the same out of this. Like, we kept saying like, this, we want this to be the best women's match ever, because that's always everyone's goal.
Sure, that should be your goal.
Yeah.
But things to just interject, sometimes it's just not the right time and place. You know, like, the best match ever, but you got 5 minutes on a, you know, on a main event or whatever, main event show. But you guys actually had the spotlight. You had the time. It was for the championship.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity to really have the best women's match ever.
Yeah. And I was so lucky that I've had a couple of championship matches before. And if I were, Brooklyn was when I won the title. So if I were to win it any other night, it just felt like everything fell into place, and that was going to be Sasha's last match in NXT. So it just, everything felt perfect, and the build up to it, and it was just amazing. And then they gave us the opportunity. We have this huge stage. Both of our families were there. We're like, now we just have to do it and perform and make sure it comes out good. So, because you can plan for the best match ever, but if it doesn't come off good, like one little thing could throw it off.
And also, what's the crowd going to be like? How they're going to react?
And that was what I was afraid of too. So I'm like, we're in New York. I don't know. Like, these seem like rowdy fans. I don't think they're going to like me. They're going to like Sasha. So I felt like it was going to be all backwards, but everybody was into it, like right off the bat, just kind of 50-50, chanting for Sasha, chanting for me. And man, whenever I think about it or talk about it, it's just like, because I'm like so emotional when it comes to wrestling. And that night was just amazing with all four of us at the end of it. And that seems like what everybody kind of remembers, is just all four of us standing there.
Like the female curtain call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a certain spot in the match that you did and you knew, like, okay, we got him, this is it?
The one main thing that I remember was when she had me in her submission and I was reaching for the rope and she stomps on the hand, like this was my broken hand, and she had just smashed it in the stairs and was working on it the whole time. And when I reached for that and she stomped on it, like I heard the crowd go nuts. Like they knew that was such a,
you bitch.
Such a dick thing to do, but it was such a Sasha thing. And I was, as much as it hurt, cause like my hand was legit broken before.
Oh really?
Yeah. And, as much as it hurt when she was doing it, I was like, this is amazing. It was just,
it's what you work for.
Yeah.
You know, we train and work so hard, and when you get those moments, you're just like,
yeah.
They don't happen every night.
Yeah.
How did you break your hand?
It happened in a match with Emma.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just a stupid thing that happened. And, I thought it was like the, what is it called?
Metal,
like
carpal or something, or
I don't know, like the boxer's break or something.
Oh, okay.
In this weird part of my hand. So I wrestled in a cast for a month and a half before that match. But
what, obviously you were cleared, but it was still kind of,
it was just wrapped up, and I just had like a little plastic thing over it, but she had ripped it off before. So I was cleared, but I still felt like a little fragile with it, you know.
Be able to use it as part of the match as well.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. It turned out great.
So when did you find out that you had won match of the year from the NXT Universe?
The night we filmed something for it, like little videos, but we were at Full Sail and I saw Sasha come in and she wasn't even working TVs anymore. So I was like, what are you doing? She's all dressed up. And she's like, well, we won an award, so I have to come film something. And I was like, oh God, we won the award. It was just so cool. Cause there were so many great matches up for, nominations or whatever. So,
and this is a legit fan.
Yeah,
vote.
A real vote. Because I was talking to Hunter about it, and he was saying, he said it was between that Brooklyn match and the match that we had, the 30-minute Ironman match. So it was either one of our matches. Yeah.
So you guys got the winner and the second, or first runner up.
Yeah.
That just shows how great your program was.
Yeah, it's so easy working with her.
Sometimes you get that chemistry with people where, like you said, you could put, let's put Bailey and Sasha out there for, you know, whatever, 20 minutes, and you guys, let's try the backdrop spot.
Yeah.
Let me do this spot. Let's do that spot.
Yeah.
Just easy, right?
Yeah.
Maybe proud, but I mean, Triple H kind of has really been behind the which was the Divas Revolution, which I hated the term Divas.
Yeah.
To me, Divas are the bikini models, and they were awesome in the time, but now it's just women.
Yep.
And he's been very, very much a huge supporter of that.
Yeah.
Of you guys.
And it's cool. He's the man. I always like Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky. We've all kind of said, like, it was so crazy how we all came at the same time and kind of grew together. Because if I came a year later or a year earlier, it just wouldn't have meant as much, or I don't know, just at that time, he was always so cool he cared about everybody. He cares about everybody, and he knows everyone's characters more than anybody else. Like, no matter how long the match is or what the program is, or if you're on the bottom of the card or the top of the card, he cared about it. And because this is his baby, and he wanted to make sure it's the best ever. So I really noticed him really caring about it when we came with the women's title, when Paige won it the first time. I was like, man, he wants to make this special. So it just kind of motivates you. And you see with interviews he does, and some of the panel stuff that they did for Brooklyn, he just has like such a I don't know. I think he has like a soft spot for us. Mm-hmm. Too. Yeah, we call him Papa Hunter.
And you mentioned the Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and you. You guys are like the four horsewomen.
Yeah.
Who I've had the real four horsewomen on here, and maybe you guys could do an angle with them.
Oh, that would be great.
They're great. But if you guys became like this four of you guys together, what a great not problem, but what a great situation to be in. We have four, all of you on the same page, and all of you can mix and match and just have these tremendous matches.
Yeah, it just worked out perfectly, like I said. And it started really with Emma and Paige. They had their championship match at NXT Arrival. And I remember watching that where they have so I was in the arena, but where they have hard cam. So I just wanted to be out there in the atmosphere. And they had an incredible match. And I was like, man, I don't want to stand back here anymore. I want to be in these matches. And same with Sasha. She's like backstage. And she's like, oh, I just want to be out there. So that was motivating to see them have the spotlight on them for such a special night. Because it was the first takeover on the network. And then they moved on to WWE, so we're all here, and everybody's kind of like, what's going to happen to NXT now? Like, Emma and Paige are gone, and then we kind of had to step it up, and it just worked out.
What did you think this year of their the Triple Threat women's match at WrestleMania?
Oh, my God. It was great. I knew they were going to do great, and I kept telling them, like, I feel like I'm on WrestleMania because, like, oh, man, I was so excited for them. Just watching them do their entrances was just incredible. Like, dude, I remember Becky coming out doing an Irish jig and just wearing all green. And so she used to wear these like weird light things on her head in promo class. Like, and that wasn't who she was. Like, that's who she is. And she's doing it on WrestleMania, just stuff like that. And I had Charlotte's first TV match, and then to see her come out as a champion is amazing.
Was it tough for you, or is it tough for you that the three of them are up in WWE and you're here still?
Well, I get asked that a lot, because everybody's like, no, you could tell me, you know, it's okay. Like, I know you're sad or whatever, or bitter, but
I don't think bitter is the term.
Yeah,
I don't
bitter.
See you being bitter about anything.
Yeah.
But just, do you feel like frustrated, or do you feel like,
Yeah, I think I'm getting more towards that of, like, when they first went up, I was so excited and just like, dude, I'm so happy for you guys. If you guys can mold the division and make it easier for me when I get there, like, go for it. Mm-hmm. And I had things I wanted to work on here. I had to be the champion and, like, being able to work with a lot of the younger girls, which was, I think, has been great for me, that I wouldn't be able to do if I had moved with them. Like, I think I have learned more in this past year than I have in, I don't know, just my whole career, because I have to work with all levels of people. Mm-hmm. Asuka, Nia Jax, Carmella, people who are just starting, like Daria and Mandy.
Eva.
Yeah, Eva. Like, everyone's a different level, so unique. So I've really had a chance to grow without them, because I kind of, like, relied on them also. So
that's a good point.
You
wouldn't have been able to blossom as much if they were still here.
Yeah. And but now I think I've done what I can, and especially after WrestleMania and saw their amazing match and the new women's title, I'm like, dude, this is where I need to be. Mm-hmm. Like, so now I'm pretty like, all right, let's do this.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah.
Do you think when it's time, and obviously it's going to come very quickly, I mean, you know, the time is coming, what do you need to do to take this character of Bayley in the NXT forum and take it to the next level in the big leagues, basically?
Yeah, I think about that a lot, and I think I would, I mean, if I had it my way, I'd prefer to kind of start out the same way I did in NXT, where I was just kind of laying low, and I don't want to be thrown in the championship mix right away. I kind of like growing in front of the fans, and I think that's why it was such a huge deal when I won the title, because they've seen me at the very bottom and just kind of be this girl that's, you know, I don't want to be thrown in the picture and get lost or be like I'm this huge deal already, because I have to reintroduce myself. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, and what I hope to do is just grow in front of the larger audience. But I hope it kind of all works out the same way. I hope I don't really have to change much, because I'm so happy with how it's going right now. But if along the way they give me a few things they want me to change or that I need to tweak to make it better, make the product better, then
I think that happens too with a lot of people when you first come, because you're basically going to a different territory.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that don't watch NXT or aren't familiar with NXT, but if you look at what just happened with Enzo and Cass, maybe there's 10% of the people that know them, but they're so loud and so into it that you see other people going, well, I should be in this too. Soft. What does that mean? Just say it, soft.
Yeah.
So it kind of becomes infectious,
yeah.
Which I think will help in your favor. When you come out, when you finally do make your debut, people are going to go nuts, or a certain segment will, which will make other people go, why don't we know about this girl?
Yeah, maybe that's true with the wacky inflatable two
I
men.
Love that. Yeah. Now, by the way, just let me say this for a second. Two things freak me out, bobbleheads and that.
Really?
The wacky, what do you call them?
Wacky, wavy, inflatable tube men.
is that a trademark?
Yeah, that's from like Family Guy or something.
Wacky, it was like inflatable tube men.
It was like an infomercial, and there's this guy just yelling it, wacky, wavy, inflatable tube men, wacky, wavy, inflatable tube men.
How did you get that into your entrance?
Oh, man. Well, I think it may have been meant for someone else, but I mean, maybe it was like an Adam Rose thing, or that's what I like to think, because one day I just came to Full Sail and they're all, we want to rehearse your entrance. We got a surprise for you. So I was like, okay. Is it like new music or I don't know what? And because I never rehearsed my entrance. So I came out and did my entrance, and I'm standing at the top of the ramp and these inflatable guys just pop up. And
yeah.
Oh my God. Like I had this real reaction. They're like, holy moly, these things are awesome. So they started all laughing at me, like my reaction to it. They're like, this is going to be great. And the first time they used it on TV, the whole crowd was like, went nuts. They're like, oh my God. Like the same reaction I had. So now it's become like a cool thing. Like when I did I want shirts with them. I wish I could have shirts. I don't know if they could do that. It's kind of like a trademark thing for like car dealerships.
You mean to put... Well, that's not. Yeah, what, you mean like to actually put pictures on them, or
yeah.
Actually have shirts that have little ones on them?
Yeah,
like you pull a pin, they go. Psh. Like
you know, put the shirt on and it inflates.
Yeah,
and you're a wacky and wavy.
Literally, like those sumo costumes that you go with. They have a little fan in it.
Dude, that's another great idea.
All this stuff counts now. You got to think about this.
Ooh.
But you could put that on a shirt.
Yeah.
Wacky, wavy, inflatable tube.
Yeah, they're just fun and cool.
It's one of those things, once again, it's such, like, everyone sees them. You drive down the road, they're everywhere. And whoever thought about using them in an entrance, it's a genius move.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's really cool and it's unique, but everyone knows what it is.
Yeah, I got lucky.
How did you get the name Bailey?
Just, I gave, like, a list of names that I wanted to use, and I tried using my indie name, and they wouldn't let me use it. And I kind of was thinking of, what's that word, like it could be used as like a male or female name?
I'm not sure, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. So I was trying to pick names like that.
And
like,
someone will tell us, please tweet us what the word is that we're trying to think of right now. And that's not ambiguous, maybe? Maybe ambiguous? I'm saying ambiguous. So if I'm wrong, please roast me.
Yes. Okay. But I was throwing out names like Bobby or Jordan, something like that. Because I was like, well, I don't want it to be super girly. Like, I want to be Patricia or something. I don't know if that's girly, but I was like, Jennifer. and Bailey was one of them. And that was like the last one I wanted. I did not want that name. And they gave me three choices. I forgot what the other one was. But one of them was Davia, which was not Davina. I'm like, are you guys missing the N? Or they're like, no, Davia. I'm like, that's not even a name. I guess I'll...
Which, of course, people will be calling you Davia.
Yeah, yeah.
Davia.
Something. No, it's Davia.
Yeah,
duh. You need to know that. And, yeah, so I was like, man, I guess I'll just go with
Bailey.
What was
the one that you wanted, the one that you thought was the
best
one?
I don't even remember.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But Bailey, and it was with an I, and I was like, okay, I'll choose this, because I was ready to send in another list of names, because I was just not happy. And I'm like, okay, if I choose this one, I have to spell it B-A-Y, because I'm from the Bay Area.
Oh,
I thought I was so cool. I'm
nice.
Like, yeah, it has to mean
get
something
it
to me. Yeah. So then I went with that. Now I love it.
Yeah, it becomes like your thing now.
Yeah,
right?
That's what they told me, and I was like, you guys don't know me. And of course, like, they were right.
When you, another key element to you becoming as popular as you have was the connection you have with like little girls, younger girls.
Yeah.
Because you once again come across that way. And I'm sure you know, and if you don't know, in Japan, how women wrestlers became so popular was because they had such a connection with younger girls, like preteens,
yeah,
who made them the most biggest stars in the company. I'm talking like in the ladies, like the, you know, Hokuto and those type of girls, Manami Toyota, the Crush girls and those type of things. Have you ever heard of this before?
Yeah, okay. I'm not too familiar with it all, but You can just tell, like, in kind of the way they dress and everything too, it's kind of like their style, that it's very, like, not childlike, but more on the fun side. And I think that's what kids kind of latch to, is just bright colors and fun and smiling and just like being very, I don't know, very big and just...
It's like the cool older sister that, or the older girl on the block that everyone wants to hang out with. And meanwhile, you're like just in your early 20s too, right? But that's like, you know, those girls at 12, 13, 14, I think that's the secret to this character, is we never really have had that character that connects like that before.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think I've always, one of my main goals when I first started wrestling was I just wanted to make people feel the way I felt, like, behind the barricade. Because as a kid, I was just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I never knew what it was, but it was just the atmosphere and watching wrestlers come down the ramp. Like, it just made me so happy, and I just couldn't help but be happy. Mm-hmm. So that's like what I always wanted to make people feel. It's like, I just want people to be happy, and I want like more girl wrestlers like myself or Sasha or Charlotte, the people, you know, women who just really loved wrestling for wrestling. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I think it's just like, because I'm just kind of goofy, and little kids love to laugh and just have a good time. My music is like upbeat, and the inflatable things are cool, and little girls can put their hair in ponytails easy. Yeah. So yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Well, tell me about the phenomenon of Izzy.
Oh God, her parents are gonna go crazy that she's being talked about on this right now. She was just somebody I remember seeing at a show in Largo. She was wearing a Paige shirt, and every time I will look out the curtain, and Joey Mercury taught me this. Like, he told him, Eddie Guerrero taught him that if you want to know how a show is going to be or how a crowd is, watch the first match through the curtain so you can hear the crowd and just kind of feel how, what they react to certain things. So I always do that. And I looked out the curtain the first match, and this little girl is just at the guardrail, just with her chin on the guardrail, just so into the show. And while everybody else is sitting down, and throughout the show, I would kind of look out, and she was in the same spot. She would not move. I would see her like look back at her parents and with a big smile on her face. And so I could just tell she was so into it the whole time.
How old is she?
She's right now 8. So
you're looking at her.
She was like 7 or something. And then I tweeted a picture of her, like, as creepy as that sounds. I was like, from the curtain, tweeted a picture of her.
Did you take the picture from the curtain?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just Izzy wearing a Paige shirt with her, you know, hanging on the barricade. And I tweeted, this is what this is all about, or something like, this is what wrestling's all about. And then the parents saw it, and she saw it, and I could tell they saw the tweet because they looked back at the curtain, and I like hid.
Oh, so
they
saw it instantly?
Because I guess I like hashtagged it or something. And then when I came out, she was just like, I think that just kind of made her care about me and was like, oh, she thinks I'm cool. So, you know, and then she just became the biggest fan and would come to all the shows. She was the first girl that I really noticed to start dressing like me and do her hair like me. And her parents are just so nice and huge wrestling fans themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think they were excited that their daughter was as into it as they are. And and she kind of just became a part of the show. I think it was just like an easy thing to Sasha could pick on her.
I mean, it's almost like she was a plant. Like,
right.
Like, you know, Bailey gets over with the younger girls, stick one in the front row.
Yeah, I think that's what people thought, because I would get tweets and stuff saying, like, who is she, like her little cousin or whatever, but I don't know her. Like, so it just happened that she would get this corner spot every time, and she was just easy to, like, when I'd come down, I could easily give her a hug, and people can easily, like, bash her or whatever they want to do. So, yeah. And now she's this huge deal. We even brought her in the ring when I came back to Full Sail as a champion, and she's like known everywhere. It's crazy. She's more famous than I am.
How did people start knowing that her name was Izzy?
Maybe Twitter or something. Or it may have been when I did the thing with her on TV. Like, yeah, I don't know.
It's funny. I read something or heard something that Sasha had messed with her during a match and made her cry.
Yeah.
And then after, felt bad and went and hugged her or something.
Yeah, it was the Iron Man match, and I didn't see this happen. I remember watching it in the replay. Sasha had thrown me into like the wall or something, and she was going back back down the ramp to get into the ring, and she rips her headband off and puts it on, gets in the ring, and just like makes fun of her crying, and she's like crying in her dad's arms, and the camera got a perfect shot of it, and I had no idea what was going on. I thought they were booing Sasha, but they were booing her because she just ripped some little girl's headband off her head. It was just like genius, but like so sad. And then when Hunter and Regal and everybody came out with like bouquets of flowers, kind of like sending Sasha off, she had this big old bouquet of flowers, and she's like, should I give this to her? Well, I don't know, dude, you do what you want. You made the little girl cry. So she goes, give it to her. She's like, I'm sorry, do you forgive me? So that was like their end.
I told her, I actually texted her, I said, what are you doing going back to her afterwards and seeing if she's okay, giving yeah. her flowers? She goes, well, I felt bad. I said, you're a heel.
Yeah.
You should have taken the flowers and thrown them on the ground and stepped on them.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. Come on.
Spit on her face.
Get with it. Yeah.
You idiot.
But it's almost like it would be smart for the company when you do come to Raw or SmackDown or whatever to have not a plant, but to almost have her there.
Yeah.
Just to show people like kind of some of your appeal that this girl is different. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it wouldn't be the worst idea to have Izzy there. I'm like, look, she's got her super fan, because like I said, there's a lot of people who be seeing you for the first time,
right?
You know, and the more steam you have, you're like, oh wow, the little girls like her.
Yeah. Vince, do you listen to
Vince? Right? We're gonna pitch this idea. Yeah.
Fly Izzy out.
Yeah, fly her out there, make
Twitter
her part
now.
Of it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Izzy's gonna be planted.
Yeah.
and then we have her jump the barricade and attack you, and then
yeah.
she becomes a heel.
Or I turn on her.
Oh, even better.
Get out of here. This is my time to shine.
Yeah, get
you're
out
staying
of here.
In NXT.
Yeah, go back to the minor leagues. So when you're talking about you're here still, and you mentioned that everyone else had gone, or the three of
yeah.
the four. And you're working with Asuka down to like Eva Marie, for example. What is your mindset when you're working with somebody who doesn't have any experience at all in comparison to working with someone like Asuka, who's pretty damn good?
Yeah. They're equally as challenging, and I think working with someone like Eva is way more challenging, and I don't mean that in a bad way because she works hard to...
Of course, but we she's very green.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. She's...
Red and green.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like Christmas.
Christmas Marie.
Yeah.
Christmas Eva Marie.
Yes.
There you go.
Christmas Eva Marie.
You got
Marie.
It then.
I
yeah,
got
it took
it.
You a
yeah,
second.
It took me a while, guys.
Second,
yeah. So you should have saw my face. But I prefer, I don't know, like I said, it challenges me and it makes me, I kind of basically have to, I don't want to say like wrestling myself, or like it just makes me work harder because mm-hmm. I can't rely, like I said, I would rely on the girls, or if I messed up with something or something went wrong, I knew the other girls can cover it up, but I knew if something went wrong here, that was all on me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like always a challenge to me. If I can like I need to have a good match with her, I need to show that I can do this. If you can elevate people, then it makes you, you know, that much better, and they can trust you with almost anybody, and that's what I want. Like, I want Hunter to trust me. I want everybody, the coaches, to trust that they can put someone with me and the match will be okay, or they'll be better than when they started and or before the match. So like that's always been really cool and what I wanted, and that's like, I don't know, I like helping the girls. But someone like Asuka, I know it's just like a whole different level because she trained a different style. So I'm like, okay, well, I need to be able to adapt to a different style, or else like, everybody wants to be the best. And mm-hmm. if I can't adapt to that style, then I mean, what am I doing? Like,
right.
I want to be able, and I want her to be like, man, Bailey's pretty good. So
mm-hmm.
I want to show off a little.
So if you're talking about like an Eva, for example, when she doesn't have a lot of experience, it's almost like if you can have a good match with someone like in that position, it really shows how good you are. And
yeah.
it is a feather in the cap, you know, like, ah, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
yeah. But with Asuka, like, she's really like, man, her work is really crisp and really, I would say, almost probably stiff in some
yeah.
ways. You know, have you ever worked anybody from Japan before?
I've worked two girls from Japan in Shimmer. Three.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it right away because I remember first going to Shimmer and asking, Sarah Del Rey was there and she was working with Asuka, who was Kana at the time. And I was
it
like,
was Kana?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how is that? And she's like, you know, it's fine. But like Sarah Del Rey is Sarah Del Rey. She's amazing. Like, I'm no Sarah Del Rey. So mm-hmm. I worked with in this tag match against these girls named Ray and Leon, and they were wearing masks. So I was already like intimidated, like talking to them and meeting them. And they're so freaking fast in the ring. Like, I thought I was okay, but they were so fast, and everything they did was so, like, freaking tight. And, like, dude, they were, like, in there. And then I worked with Tomoka Nakagawa, and her the same. Like, everything was on point, and just if I wasn't there for something, like, or if I missed a beat, she would get me. Mm-hmm. So I knew going in with Asuka, her being one of the best to come from Japan, like, I watched tons of videos on her, and she's wrestling, like, Tajiri, and I'm like, oh, crap, dude.
Right.
And after all I've seen her do in Shimmer, like, yeah, she's freaking strong. And I was, like, A little intimidated, to say the least, but I got out of there alive. I think my tailbone was, like, killing me for weeks after that, and, like, I had, like, bruises on my arms from her kicks and stuff, but
It wakes you up.
Yeah, it does. It makes me, like, I need to go learn some more stuff, learn how to kick.
More aggressive, right?
Yeah.
You need a kick.
Yeah,
get a kick move.
I'm going to get you back, Asuka.
Can I go to kick school, please? Had you ever been to Japan at all, or did you ever
No.
go internationally? Okay.
I really want to. I think right before I got signed, I was going to have an opportunity. Somebody was interested, but then I got signed, so I was like, I can't go.
Yeah.
But hopefully with WWE or something. Or
when let's say when Asuka comes, as we're getting ready to wind down here, on a personal level, like, do you try and help make her feel comfortable, because she's here by herself?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, totally. When she first got here, I felt so bad because she doesn't speak English. Like, certain things she in training, she doesn't really understand what we're doing. She has to visually, like, see it. Or in the performance center, we have the mirror room upstairs where you practice your promos, and
why is it the mirror room?
Apparently Vince wanted to call it that. I forgot what it used to be called, but it's just like, it's where you cut promos and you can go back and watch them. So I guess the camera is supposed to be like the mirror.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So you're supposed to practice promos, and we have to be in there like a couple times a week, and you got to log in and do your like minute promo. And she didn't know, and she couldn't log in. She didn't know what she was doing in there in this dark room with a camera. So I had to like walk her in there and help her fill it out and tell her what to do without, you know, speaking Japanese. So I had to show her.
You push this button.
Yeah.
Talk something.
And like, she'll get emails but not really know what it's about. I know she has a translation, but she'll ask like what time training is. Or the other week, she didn't know that we had promo class. Like, just little things like that.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, like, how it is to come to, you know.
Huge.
Yeah.
You know,
she's
and even,
amazing.
like, when Nakamura comes, I mean, still, like, oh my gosh, the other Japanese cat.
Hideo,
yeah, which I was thinking his real name. But, you know, I'm sure at least they have somebody to talk to, and there's two guys.
Yeah.
But she's the only girl.
Yeah.
Right?
And, like, they're a little, well, actually, Hideo's been a little bit, he's been going to English class, and he, like, knows English pretty well now. She had Adrian, which is another girl here that they were pretty close on the indies, so she's been helping her a lot, too. But, yeah, she's so sweet, and I know she doesn't want to bother anybody, but, yeah.
The Japanese style.
Yeah.
Which other girls are down here that you think have potential to do good things?
Who paid me enough to sit?
Don't say all of them.
Yeah. Everyone's great.
Everything's happy.
Man, there's so many. Top of my head, Peyton Royce, she's from Australia. Mm-hmm. She's had a few matches on NXT, but I think once she starts going, like, she's like, I kind of compare her to Sasha, and that might be a huge thing to say, but her style and the way she carries herself, everything, she's going to be amazing. There's Liv Morgan and Aliyah, who have been here for a while, and they work so hard, going to extra training all the time. Same with, you just saw the girls out there, Daria and Mandy Rose, who came from Tough Enough, so you know you're never too sure how like people from there are going to work out, but they're like two of my favorites right now, because they every day they're in extra training and they've been progressing like crazy. And Carmella and Alexa Bliss are already like at another level now, so I'm hoping like,
so it's a good future for
these people. The fans have no idea what goes on in the performance center, but eventually, if I were to get the call sometime soon, the division is taken care of, because these girls are, with coaches like we have here, there's no way like they're gonna succeed no matter what.
Right. What's your if you had to pick one match that stands out as your favorite, I'm pretty sure what you're going to say. And maybe I'll even say you can't pick that one.
Okay.
But give me your favorite match besides the NXT TakeOver Match of the Year winner.
Okay, luckily I already have one.
Are you prepared?
No, but this is actually one of my favorite matches. Charlotte, I had a match with Charlotte in Columbus. This was our first out-of-state show. And
like the Arnold Classic in that weekend or something, right?
Yeah, it was the first time we went outside of Florida, and I had a match with Charlotte, and she had her dad out there, which was, you know, she never really brought him to shows sometimes on TV, but him being out there was, like, such a cool atmosphere. The first time the crowd had seen us, you know, outside of Florida, so that was really cool. And one of my favorite parts in the match was, so I do, like, this top rope, the Rana.
Yeah, like a Frankenstein.
Yeah,
from the
Frankenstein.
Top
and Flair's.
That's from the 90s, by the way. We call them Frankensteiners.
Yeah. You've done those a bunch of times. So I'm standing up there with her, and she's sitting on the top buckle, and Rick's just in the corner yelling at me, like, "You better not do it!" Like ripping off his jacket and just doing Flair.
Crazy Flair. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, "This is so cool." And then I stop before I go, and I look at him. And I say, "I'm sorry. I love you." And then I go for it, and I was like, "Nobody knew that I did that." Charlotte can hear me, and she's cracking up. And I was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe I just did that to Ric Flair." So that's like one of my favorite.
The classic Shawn Michaels before he kicked Flair in the face.
Yes.
I'm
so
sorry.
Good.
I love you.
Yeah. And he, like, you could tell. He's kind of smiling, but he went nuts. It was one of my favorite matches. Just such a great match.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah, it's monumental. Yeah. Well, see, now we're at the end of the show, and you've been more than interesting. You're like, "I'm not very interesting." Super interesting. But before, when we were texting, you said, "Well, all I want to do is just talk about Sasha anyways." Last thing, do you have a favorite Sasha Banks story?
Let's see.
Since you seem to be so enamored with her.
I love Sasha. Yeah. I think she's the best ever. You want me to talk about her some more? No. I don't know. I can't think of a specific story, but when we were still, like, training in FCW, we used to call ourselves the Average Janes, because this was before she was the boss and before I was Bailey. We were just these indie chicks that loved wrestling, and we were like, "Man, we're not models. We're not bodybuilders. Like, we ain't nothing. We're just Average Janes." And we'd, like, sometimes team together. Oh, actually, I do. Okay.
We've got nothing going on for us.
Yeah, no, exactly. So one time in Fort Pierce, we had a tag match. And, like, it's so funny. They used to do autograph signings during intermission. And our match was right before intermission. And they told us, "Okay, you guys are going to have an autograph signing." We're like, "Okay." But we thought it was going to be before the show. So we lose our tag match. And, like, really badly, I think we get, like, squashed or something. Like, we just lose our match. And then we walk back. You know, we're, like, limping back after the match. They're like, "Okay, go do the autograph signing." Like, but we just lost our match. So we have to, like, walk out, like, selling everything.
Spirit and just, of 76.
Like, yeah. And be all sad. And it was like nobody was in line.
Nothing worse.
Yeah. Anyone wanted me to? No. Okay.
Just the Average Janes.
Yeah.
You're awesome, Bailey.
Oh, thanks.
Coming to Raw or SmackDown soon.
Hopefully,
that's my prediction.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hear that, Vince?
Yeah, Vince, are you listening? Can you put me on the show too, please?
Yes.
Thanks to Bailey for hanging out. Looking forward to watching what she does next at NXT. And it's only a matter of time at this point until she gets called up to the main roster in the WWE. And it's like I said, she has got it. She's going to blow people away when she gets up to the main roster, just like she's blowing people away at NXT as she does every single week. Go check out any show that she's at, and you're going to love it. I'm telling you right now. So Bailey is great, great show, great podcast. And don't forget, another great podcast coming up March 15th, 2017. It's going to be the biggest podcast ever. When Mick Foley joins Talk is Jericho, the new Raw general manager, I guess technically my boss. Wow, that's creepy. But the countdown has begun. 235 days and counting until the biggest podcast ever. All right. One last thank you to all you guys as well for supporting this show and all the great Talk is Jericho sponsors, including DDP Yoga. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. You get 20% off anything you purchase for a limited time. including the amazing DDP Yoga program and the incredible DVD collector's edition or Blu-ray of the Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary. You got to see it. It is a must see. And like I said, if you screwed up and you owe your lady, I get some brownie points, go to the Books and use that promo code Jericho at Books.com. B-O-U-Q-S, bouquet, get it? B-O-U-Q-S.com to get free delivery and 20% off the bouquet of your choice. That's B-O-U-Q-S.com to get 5, 10, 15, 20 off your order. And also TrueCar and the TrueCar app, saving time, saving money. And a big thanks to Amazon. They've been with this show since their very first episode. Wow, it's a long time ago, 266, 67 episodes ago. It's the easiest way to support Talk is Jericho. Use my Amazon links anytime you do your online shopping to get exactly what you want. You take that picture and you post it on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho. And I'm going to retweet it and I'm going to follow you. How does that sound? Don't forget, I got Amazon links for the USA, UK, Canada. Every time you use the Talk is Jericho Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to the show to help us cover them production costs. No extra fees, no hidden challenges. Just go to podcastone.com, click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. All right, thank you so much for listening. Keep listening to the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. We'll see you on the highlight reel this Sunday on the WWE Network with Randy Orton. And next Wednesday, have you guys seen But I'm Chris Jericho? Did you watch it yet? If you haven't watched it, go on YouTube and watch it. One of the best things I've done. Very, very funny. Kind of a Curb Your Enthusiasm type vibe of what would have happened if I was blackballed from wrestling and would have to move back in with my high school, college roommate and try and become an actor. Well, you remember that? If you liked it, remember Fill in the Blank was the agency I worked for, Fill in the Blank Agencies? Well, Phil, my agent, Andy Kindler, is going to be here. He's hilarious. He's done so much stuff, and he was on there. I'm not even going to go through it. Funny guy, hilarious guy. Loves Dolph Ziggler's comedy, comedic timing. Loves his Chipotle routine. So much cool stuff coming up from Andy Kindler this Wednesday. Get prepared to laugh. He's a nebbish, all right. He is a mensch. He's not a super mensch like Chef Gordon, but he's pretty damn close. We'll see you guys next week. Right here on Talk is Jericho. Have a good weekend and big yeah, boys to all.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Simmons SD550 electronic drum kit, just $399. Add your choice of AKG K52 headphones or a Shure SM48 mic, each just $39. Plus, the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing, lessons for the beginner on your list, and gift cards. The perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
Trump's victory. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute.
It's always a lot of fun when you win. If you work hard and lose, that's not acceptable.
At the White House, President Trump welcomed Republicans from the House and the Senate who passed a bill overhauling the tax code. The president says the middle class will be seeing the effects of this bill very soon.
The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000. They're going to have $2,000, and that's, in my opinion, going to be less than the average. You're going to have a lot more than that.
The tax overhaul bill also includes a corporate tax cut.
We have companies pouring back into our country, and that means jobs, and it means really the formation of new, young, beautiful, strong companies.
Democrats have criticized the tax package as a giveaway to corporations and the rich. The tax cuts for businesses are permanent under this tax bill, but reductions for individuals and families will expire after a decade. I'm Ed Donahue.